And talking about grace, and I do a lot of teaching and talking about it because I've received so much of it, and I know that it is by the grace of God that you and I are able to even read God's Word. And think of this as a blessing. God allows us to worship Him. And another blessing. That God, just like as a Christian, when I gave my heart to Christ, God says, then now you can give financially to me. You can give to my church. You can give to my people. Folks, only Christians are blessed, or the blessings that of the gift that we give in the name of Christ, the blessings will come. And it is the Christian that has been given the opportunity. That's total worship for us. And to know that we can pray to God, He lets us. As bad as we are, He hears us. And as many times as we've gotten ourselves into the mess, He delivers us. He just continues because of His love for us. So therefore, when we're talking about healing grace tonight, I want us to remember that there's more to healing about us than just the physical. Psalm 147 verse 3. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The greatest pain that you and I will have in our life is not from the cancer, is not from the bone disease, is not from arthritis or any of the other. The greatest pain that will bring us to our knees the fastest is a broken heart. For with the broken heart, where that you have that spiritual being of who you are, and you give love and you give help and you give support to so many within the family and all, and then those that you trust the most turn to be the worst, and your heart is broken. When we get our heart broken spiritually, it means that what has happened, that because of the pain of seeing a loved one have a case of the stupid or do all of these bad, that pain is so great that it affects everything about our humanity. Where there was first once love, now there's bitterness and hatred. All of this, we can read all the stories about it in God's holy word. We can see what God is talking about, but it's much easier for us to think about and read the stories of somebody else instead of us being the star in that particular portrayal or in that particular story. Too often we are. But God says, I will heal the brokenhearted. Too many stop asking for God's healing too soon. And then when I will listen to them, they will say, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but there was no change. Well, for one thing, Christian, that's impossible. You can't pray and pray and pray and there be no change. You see, your situation in life, of whether it's sin or no matter what it is, when I belong to the Lord, my prayers are heard. Therefore, He follows through from His end. The problem is on me or the human not accepting how God has chosen to heal us. We want the healing our way. We want it done our way. And we want it done when we want it done. Because we are so patient as God's children. And we do believe in prayer. And then God goes around and does it just a different way than we never expected. And we said, Lord, but I'm still hurting. Do we really expect to go through life, even get to a point to where we don't hurt? I cannot imagine my life being so touched or so blessed that I don't hurt. Folks, I'm a Christian. We're Christians. Therefore, when you hurt, I hurt. When I see a child hurt, I hurt. And if we become so numb to the pain of life, how can we serve the Lord? If you and I don't feel for someone else, I guarantee the feelings we have ourselves are false feelings. Can we not see someone as in worse shape? Do we not lift up those to the Lord in prayer that don't care anything about us? Can we not continue to lift names to the Lord in prayer, and yet all these years we've lifted those names but have never witnessed a change? Something to remember on that. When you and I pray for God to touch a life, God is not required to tell us that He has done it. God doesn't come back and say, well, let me show you, Larry, exactly what I've done with this individual. I owe God everything. God has given me all and more of everything in His relationship with us as Christians, right? Therefore, it is through His love that you and I are able to love. It is through the pain of His Son hanging on the cross that, don't we remember that Jesus says that we are to bear our cross, take up our cross and follow Him? To become a Christian is a part of cross bearing. That's what we do. We help one another. We cry when another one is crying. We laugh when they're happy. But we truly become a part of their life because of the love that Jesus gave all of us. Folks, Christianity, they tell me, is a dying faith. But Christ is alive. Therefore, it can't be dying. Christians need to share the faith. Christians need to share the pain. But folks, we also need to stand strong and firm in who we are as Christians and what Christ means to our life, and that we are not going to compromise. Not one iota will we compromise that stand that we have. Okay, how does God heal a broken heart? By changing the way we think. I'll tell you what, you know, what normally gets me in trouble to begin with is my brain. And then I found that my tongue is connected directly to a part of the brain that is numb, gotta be, most of the time, because my tongue starts talking and my spirit saying, who is that? And, you know, I realize my tongue is connected to the part of the brain that's not working right. Have you ever got, yeah, you've done that, yes. Yeah. Oh, honey, yes, I do, and sometimes... I think it is worse when I engage my brain than it is when I wasn't. You know, out of ignorance, always remember this about one of God or God's law: where there is no law, there can be no judgment. You remember what Jesus said? It was better that you should not have heard the truth than to have heard it and turn your back on it. So therefore, if there is no law, if you don't know the difference, then that type of a judgment for you is direct in God's hand. Aren't you glad, though, it is the Lord that's gonna that has done the judging? Oh, man, I can't imagine how many times all of the years of me in the prison and jail system, as I'm walking through these halls with all the inmates around, and how many of them have told me I was going to hell. You're going to hell, chaplain, because you won't do what I tell you to do. You're going to... And I'm glad at the end of the walk of the day, I said, Lord, thank you. Oh, man. Okay, by changing the way we think. Romans 12, 2. Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Okay, our thought process is normally in the ditch of life, right? Just like I told you that Sunday night, the doctor said, when a nurse comes in and she says, Larry, you're looking healthy. Bobette told me that today when I was at that meeting. He said, you look healthy. And I said, Dr. Godfrey told me that that's a nice way of saying I'm fat. So, and that's just the way it goes, ain't it, Bob? Don? Okay. Let God transfer. What's our mistake? We try to transform ourselves. We are trying, doing everything that we can. And you know, at a certain age in the 40s, for some reason, it goes that we're going to go out and read every book any psychologist ever wrote about how to, you know, to love yourself better and all of this. That's the biggest waste of money that you will ever spend. I mean, it's good to hear some good things. It's good to, that you look at yourself. But listen, folks. Until I recognize my faults and failures, how can I walk above those to help others? Until I have been in the ditch of life, and I know, I've heard them tell me before, you know, say, well, I don't have to get shot to know that getting shot is something I don't want to happen to me. But as Christians, you and I need to pay attention to the transformation. You can't transform yourself. And all this garbage of the prison system, every time they're saying, now, Chaplain Vance, let's get her fixed to where we can have rehabilitation. Let's set up these programs. Let's have programs don't have a thing to do with rehabilitation. It's in the heart of man. And so you deal with the heart. State government doesn't like that. They don't, you know, that's almost, as they say, that's almost religious. Well, I was confronted one time because they said you should not use, oh gosh, this was several years back, said you should not use the name Jesus that much because they're not expecting you to say that. And this was at a big meeting with all the smart people. I was the only foolish one there, and I said, you're telling me that they don't know I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. Now, what part of the title of chaplain do you think that they don't understand? And then if they don't understand that, look, and my title was Christian chaplain. But let God transform you from the heart. God said, I've got to do it from the inside. Because all of our problems come from within, right? There again, remember, I know how the inmates wanted to say, because I watched that bad movie that made me go out and kill people. That's not true. The Lord says, the evil comes from within. It is out of the heart of man. And it is that heart that defiles him. Nothing that goes into man can defile him. Only that which comes from within. So how do I get transformed? By God from the inside. How God sees us because of his grace. Now, these 5 points are really important to each of us. You and I look at ourselves too often, and we view and we judge ourselves, and we do that, based on how we see ourselves. And we look at it, and we say, oh, gosh, I'm a mess, and, you know, we go through those lines. But here's what we miss. God does not bring a judgment on me based on what I see. It's just how he sees me. Now, you and I focus on ourselves as where we are right now. When the Lord looks at us, he looks at what we are at the end of the life. He sees the perfection of us. We see only the flaws. Let's look at this. How does God see us because of his grace? Number one, he sees us as being acceptable. I've looked at myself many times and didn't see myself as acceptable. I wasn't even acceptable in my own eyes. How could I have been acceptable in somebody else's eyes? But now listen to this. You and I deal with too much of this brain stuff. We've got to get in the Spirit. After all, this brain stuff, as I talk about, is going to be down in the dirt where the body's going to be, and it's going to be gone while we're still enjoying eternity with excitement. So therefore, I got to get out of my head. You got to get out of your head. Yes, one time when it's okay for the people to say, no, Jean is completely out of her head. That's fine. We just go through it. It's always in the Spirit. So listen to Romans 15, verse 7. Christ has accepted you. Now you can read the whole verses. That's Romans 15, 7. But the focus is we are acceptable. Christ has accepted you. Now, if the Son of God accepts me, I'd say I'm acceptable. I'm still trying to deal with why he would even love me, much less accept me. But the fact is, I know that he does. Now, 1 Peter 2, 9. You have been chosen by God himself. Well, nobody ever picked me when we would pitch the bat and choose up, sides for baseball. I would never get picked. Probably had something to do with I couldn't catch the ball. But I would never get picked. So what was that? Everybody knew, don't get Larry. He can't catch the ball. I can't. I could see it. And, I've got my glove right here. And the ball's over there. So, I couldn't catch the ball. Jesus says, my Father has handpicked you. You have been chosen by God himself. So I got on Jesus' team. What did I care about to pay? It's too hot to play that game anyway. Standing out there, and how many hours did it take to play a game anymore? Gosh. Yeah. That or grass grow, huh? Yeah. Psalm 27, verse 10. Catch this. Listen to David. Even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Now, what David used, and anytime you're reading the Old Scripture or the Old Testament, going into New, always remember something. Everything in the New Testament lifts up the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament points to the New Testament. So even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Jesus tried to get that point across to his disciples. And God love them, I guess they're like the rest of us. They're just not going to catch on to it until they're already in with the Lord in eternity. Because they still didn't have a clue. We don't either. I can talk about love all the time, but I can't even come close to that love and the grace that he has for me. Again, let's get out of the physical into the spiritual. Number two, we are valuable. First of all, we are acceptable to God through grace. We are valuable to God. 1 John 4:4. You belong to God. Bought and paid for. His son. He watched him. And so therefore, I have no right to back away from the blood of the Lamb. I have no right whatsoever to even think in a different direction. For me to do that stumps in the blood of the Son of God. You belong to God. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You have been bought and paid for by Christ. So you belong to him. Aren't you glad? Oh, man. Isaiah 43:4. God says, you are precious to me. I don't remember Faye ever telling me how precious I was. Pat, did you ever have anybody tell you how precious you are?
I used to tell myself I was precious.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't the precious part. Number three, by changing the way we think. Listen to this one. We are lovable. Now, I've known that part. I've been lovable my whole life. Oh, gosh. Helen, Mom, take your medicine, go to bed. Your son's already... We are lovable. Isaiah 54:10. The mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. So says the Lord who loves you. Okay, when God's word says, my love for you will never end, bank on it. And don't try to figure it out. Bank on it. Number four, we are forgivable. Oh, gosh. How many times have you thought, Lord, you'll never forgive me for what I've done? And you're talking to him like you're getting ready to tell him what you've done, but you're not sure that you ought to. Like he doesn't know what you've done and what you're getting ready to do. Right after you say, forgive me, Lord, and get me out of it, I'll never do it again. And then we're back. But we're always back to the same God. And he always gives us the same answer. I love you for eternity. Isaiah 43:25, I am the God who forgives your sins. Religions, listen to me, folks. Religions, the faith-based religions, the whole focus is you will work your whole life to get forgiven for a sin. You will pray 5 times a day, 10 times a day. You'll do this. You'll jump over the pew. You'll grab hold of a snake. And you'll do all of these things. That way you will know. And the Lord says, I am the God who forgives your sins. So he's saying, I forgive your sins. So if I do something thinking it's going to make him forgive my sins, that's not him doing it. Right? Okay, and I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. Well, and he doesn't. But guess who does? We hate forgiving ourselves. Yes, we got stuff in our brain up here. I'm afraid to dig because just what's on the surface of my brain is bad enough. I'm scared to death to dig. Think of that. That's who we are. Look at it this way on our salvation. At no point in our existence did Jesus not know we would accept him. He knows who will. You and I don't know. He knows. And he also knew what we were going to do before he accepts us and then what we do after he accepts us, and he accepts us anyway. It always goes back to every time I look at Jesus on the cross. You got to remember that the tree that cross was hewed from, God knew which tree it would be, and he let it grow anyway. He knew which thorn bush would grow the thorns that they'd put on his son's head, but he let the tree thorn bush grow anyway. Ephesians 1:4, through what Christ would do for us, God decided to make us holy in his eyes. Without a single fault. Again, listen to God's word. He's not saying you work up perfection. Listen again, Ephesians 1:4. Through what Christ would do for us, that's what aggravates the legalist. When people like me or you are reading the word and say, oh, salvation is of the Lord. Well, yes, but all other religions isn't. All the other religions out there focuses on what you do for your salvation, except for Christianity, which is a relationship. As a parent, as a mother, as a father, would you not be ready and willing to take a bullet or anything else for your child? You would do whatever you could do for your child. How much more would God, who looked at the human race and knew, see, it wasn't, you and I didn't have that first sin in the garden. We were born. Oh, this is something the Baptists are getting ready to change again to the original sin, the sin of Adam. That really is not the problem with us. Is a sin of Adam. Yes, it is. I don't care how smart they are, folks. Would do for us. God decided to make us holy in His eyes without a single fault. We stand before Him covered with His love. And we know what that love looks like. The color of it is red. It's the blood of Christ. And when God the Father sees the blood of His Son, every one of us, when we said yes to Jesus, we got a blood transfusion. And that blood transfusion you and I have made us children of God, to where Jesus Himself said that God the Father does not love Him any more than He loves us, because we're His. Remember again, I always bring this up. Remember, Satan said it would, and you see the curse when Jesus with the serpent in the garden. And you see the curse where he was going to strike at the heel of Christ, but Christ would stomp his head, okay? He's talking about the heirs. Satan was talking about all those who are his children, the children of evil. Jesus, when Satan looked, put him on the cross, then he cannot bear a child, remember? He didn't. Jesus would not physically bear a child. But Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is just like a lot of us. We think we know everything, and he doesn't. But as soon as Christ died and paid for us, Satan realized that we are the offspring of Christ. It's the Christian faith. It is the church. It is us as individuals. Without a single fault, we stand before Him covered with His love. Number five, the last one. And you all take these home and study them. We are capable. Lord, I can't preach. Well, that's good. Maybe you'll learn it the right way. Lord, I don't know how I can do what you've called me to do. Yes, you do. You just don't want to admit that you've got to have Him blessed and do it through you, because you don't know how. Okay. Philippians 4, verse 13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm not self-sufficient in my own sufficiency, but in who Christ is. That's where we're getting our strength. 2 Peter 2:10, listen to this one. Once you were less than nothing, now you are God's own. Remember, the nation of Israel, Israel became Israel from those who all, from the vagabonds of the earth, from no nation wanted this group of people. They were the leftovers of society, and God said, you will be my people. And what happens? God loved them, blessed them, and said, now here I give you, make you prosperous. No army can come against you that can win. Now, and he says, now Israel, take what I've given you to the world. And the Jewish nation said, no, we will not take it to the world. It is for the Jews. And they refuse to take the truth of the love of God to us, the infidels of the time. And so God says, as you see in the New Testament, the church, the Christian faith, and what's happening to us now as a group, churches are falling apart. I got an email today from a pastor of First Baptist, I think it's Franklin, Kentucky. And it really blew my mind, but I have it up there now. I'll answer him tomorrow. He wanted me to fill out some stuff. They got about 12 questions. And I thought how strange that was, that what he said was, your church has produced more salvations for your size than any of the other churches in the state. It just blew my mind. Here's what's going on. Here's what he's talking about. It is many churches grow where Christians switch from church to church, not through salvations. And he said, according to the church, your size. So we want to know what kind of preaching it is and what it is they're doing a study. Well, it just blew my mind to see that. But then the more I look and think, very few people really go get folk who are lost. It's a lot easier to get people who are already saved to come to your church if you offer the right things to their family and to their kids. Anyway, I thought you all would find that interesting. It blew my mind. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with joy that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Here's the key, is the word hope. Where there is no hope, you'll perish. When an individual gives up in the hope of being able to serve the Lord or to be able to get back to that freedom, when they give up the hope, they die. They perish. So what we're hearing is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. When hope is lost, everything is lost.